We're having the Sankirtan Yajna, and we're going to hear about Sudama, the great devotee of Krishna. And therefore, we have to chant the appropriate mantra. Since we're studying Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to chant the appropriate mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bolo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Don't worry about it. At the end of the world. Why not? No, I'm not. It's fine. It'll burn itself out. That's not the way you do it. That's cheating. It's still cheating. So, this story of Sudama Brahman appears in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is described as Nigama Kalpataror Dalitang Phalam, the ripened fruit of the tree of knowledge, which we call Vedas. So Shukadeva Goswami is narrating this 10th canto to Maharaj Parikshit, who is fasting for 7 days and 7 nights, not even drinking water. Maharaj Parikshit has only 7 days before he is killed by the snake bird Takshaka. So he has decided to hear from Shukadeva Goswami about the absolute truth, Vasudeva. That's why we chanted that mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. Vasudeva has several meanings. Vasudeva means that person who lives everywhere, all pervasive, and is conscious of his existence everywhere. And Vasudeva also means that person who is the son of Vasudeva. That can only mean Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared on this earth 5,000 years ago. So in the 10th canto, Shukadeva Goswami describes Janma Karma Chame Divyam, what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4. The birth and activities, divyam, that are transcendentally divine. And Krishna tells us in the Bhagavad Gita that if we understand his birth, his activities, if we understand them in truth, factually, then we do not have to come back and take birth in this material world. And this program is in honor of, first of all, Supriya and Rahul. They are having their birthday celebrations. So let's bless them. And also, in memory of my good friend, Srinivas Murthy, who passed away last Sunday, the funeral ceremony was held on Wednesday. And it just so happens, Supriya selected this Sudama Katha, and this Sudama Katha was the favorite of Srinivas Murthy, because recently I asked him, about 2 months ago, what is his favorite Krishna Katha? He said Sudama. So it's very fitting that Krishna inspired Supriya to select this section. I'm going to read first the chapter summaries as they appear in the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust editions of Srimad Bhagavatam. There are two chapters that deal with Sudama. These two chapters relate, number one, how Lord Krishna worshipped his Brahmin friend Sudama, who came to his palace seeking charity. Number two, how the two of them discussed the pastimes they had shared while living at the home of their spiritual master, Sandipani Muni. Number three, how Lord Krishna ate a morsel of flat rice, which was brought by his friend Sudama. And number four, how Krishna then bestowed upon Sudama such wealth greater than that of the King of Heaven. So that is a overall summary. Now there will be a more detailed summary. I'd ask you to please try to hear with rapt attention. Sutta Goswami, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, explains to the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shonaka, that he was there when Shukadev was speaking to Parikshit, the original public recitation of Bhagavatam. He said, "I heard with rapt attention." So that means cell phones should be turned off so that you can have rapt attention. They didn't have this problem 5,000 years ago with the sages of Naimisharanya, no Maharaj Parikshit. He said, "I heard with rapt attention, therefore I'm going to repeat to you what I learned and as far as my realization allows." So there are several scenes. Here's the first scene. The Brahmana Sudama, a personal friend of Lord Krishna's, was completely free of material desires. He maintained himself and his wife with whatever came of its own accord, and thus they were poverty-stricken. So this concept of whatever comes of its own accord is a very advanced platform. Hardly any of us can actually do that, to just live by what just comes of its own accord. It's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, and it's a symptom of a highly advanced soul. One day, Sudama's wife, unable to find any food to prepare for her husband, went to him and asked that he visit his friend Krishna in Dwaraka and beg some charity. Sudama was reluctant, but when she persisted, he agreed to go, reflecting that an opportunity to see the Lord was extremely auspicious. So we see human nature is the same 5,000 years ago as it is today. When she persisted, that's what wives do. They persist. And we would have to say thank God, because us men, husbands, we need someone to persist on our case. And I have been advising, because I'm a counselor as well as a preacher, so when I counsel couples, the first thing I tell the husband, happy wife means happy life. And in this way, the ladies love me like anything. In South Africa, when I went last year, I started preaching like that. And at the end of the program, after prasadam, the ladies wanted another program. They wanted me to speak more about this mantra. And they made all their husbands sit down and listen. He's speaking good. So it is good. Especially, it's good. It's not good if the wife is not a devotee. But if the wife is a devotee, then it is very good. Happy wife means happy life. If the wife is not a devotee, then no, don't. No, because you'll just go nuts. But if the wife is a devotee, yes. Happy wife means happy life. Should I continue or stop there? Oh, even Shailesh agrees. So it must be working for you. Right? Is it working? Sudama agreed to go, reflecting that an opportunity to see the Lord was extremely auspicious. His wife begged a few handfuls of flat rice as a gift for Sri Krishna, and Sudama set off for Dwaraka. Now we go to scene 2. As Sudama approached the palace of Lord Krishna's principal wife, because Krishna had only 16,108 wives. That's all. A mere drop in the bucket. But his first wife he married, Rukmini. The Lord saw Sudama from a distance. Krishna immediately rose from his seat on Rukmini's bed and embraced his friend with great joy. So I want all of us now to imagine. Imagine you're Sudama and Krishna has embraced you. That would be so wonderful. I would love to be Sudama, embraced by Krishna. Then he sat Sudama down on the bed, washed his feet with his own hands, and sprinkled the wash water on his head. After this, Krishna presented Sudama with various gifts and worshipped him with incense, lamps, and so on. Meanwhile, Rukmini fanned the shabbily dressed Brahmin with a yak tail whisk. We also worship Krishna with a yak tail whisk. So that was scene number 2. Now scene 3. Lord Sri Krishna then took the hand of his friend, and the two of them reminisced about the things they had done together long ago while living in the school of their spiritual master. Ah, can you imagine Krishna taking your hand like a friend does? Can you imagine Krishna's hand touching yours? Sudama pointed out that Krishna engages in the pastime of acquiring an education only to set an example for human society. Yes, Sudama is well aware of Krishna's exalted position and even this whole display, sitting him on the bed, washing his feet, Rukmini fanning him. This is all to set an example of how human society should treat a real qualified, bona fide Brahmana or Vaishnava devotee of the Lord. This is when Krishna is living in Dwaraka, it's very similar to the example of Ramachandra. Ramachandra's appearance day, we're celebrating this coming Friday. So Ramachandra's avatar, his incarnation, was to show the example of a perfect human being, the perfect king. So Krishna in Dwaraka with Rukmini and his other 16,000 wives is also to set an example of how one should live as a householder in perfect Vedic or Krishna consciousness. Scene 4. In the course of his loving talks with his friend Sudama, Lord Krishna said, "My dear Brahmana, have you brought any gift for me from home? I regard as very significant even the smallest offering from my loving devotee." Same thing Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Patrang puspam phalam toyam yo me bhakta prayachati tadahang bhakti uparitam ashnami prayatatmanah." Krishna clearly says in Bhagavad Gita, it doesn't matter. You bring an expensive gift. He says, no, you can even just bring me a leaf, especially what leaf? Tulsi. Or some water, or a flower, or some fruit. Any, these are such insignificant things, because Krishna is not concerned with what is offered, but how it is offered. And he twice in that Bhagavad Gita shloka, bhakti, it is the devotion. That's what Krishna is eating. Not the thing itself, but it is the love, the devotion by which we offer. This is the, what you could say, the intrinsic nature of what is bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga simply means offering some love, some devotion to Krishna. And even though Krishna is so great, and even though we may feel very insignificant, still, whatever little love and affection we can show for Krishna, he appreciates so much. Especially if even you can't do anything, you can chant Krishna's name with love and affection. Everybody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The poor Brahmin was ashamed to present Krishna with his meager gift of flat rice. However, since Lord Krishna is the super soul dwelling in everyone's heart, he knew why Sudama had come to visit him. So he grabbed the bundle of flat rice Sudama was hiding and ate a handful with great pleasure. He was about to eat a second morsel when Rukmini Devi stopped him. And there's a reason why Rukmini stopped. And a little bit later, it will be explained. Why did Rukmini stop? Scene 5. Feeling as if he had gone back to Godhead, Sudama spent that night comfortably in Lord Krishna's palace. And the next morning, he set off for home. As he passed along the highway, he thought of how fortunate he was to have been so honored by Sri Krishna. Absorbed in this meditation, Sudama arrived at the place where his house used to be, and he was struck with great wonder. Instead of his broken-down, primitive cottage, he saw a series of opulent palaces. And while he stood astonished, a group of beautiful men and women came forward to greet him with singing and music. The Brahmin's wife, wonderfully adorned with celestial jewelry, came out of the palace and welcomed him with great love and reverence. Sudama entered his house together with her, and thinking that this extraordinary transformation must have been due to the Supreme Lord's mercy on him. From then on, Sudama lived his life amidst lavish wealth, yet he maintained his mood of detachment and constantly chanted the glories of Lord Krishna. And in a short time, he broke off all bonds of bodily attachment and attained to the kingdom of God. So this is the reason, this point here. Krishna generally, usually, does not behave with his devotees the way he did with Sudama. Why? Because generally, it is usually the case that when we get lots of material opulence, the tendency is we forget Krishna. We become intoxicated. We become neglectful. We become familiar. We become puffed up. And we forget our position as humble, loving servants of the Lord, because that material opulence is very, very intoxicating. Very, very, and we get entangled. But it was noted here, Sudama, he didn't lose, even though Krishna gave him such immense wealth compared to what he was, a poor, so poor that his wife had to beg the rice. They didn't even have rice. But his devotion, his surrender, that never changed. So Krishna knew the heart of Sudama. And it said he was detached. And I've also been preaching that a lot to people. One of the greatest jewels you can have in your life is this jewel of detachment. We're going to have to become detached sooner or later anyway. Death will certainly force us detachment. But the sooner that we can learn detachment, the happier we will be. So I preach that to people. Try to learn detachment. Shukadeva Goswami concludes, "The Lord always shows Brahmanas special favor." Yes, there is one mantra. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Krishna is very compassionate and sees himself the maintainers of two. First the cows, not the Brahmins. First the cows. So when people say, "Oh, you Hindus, you have this holy cow." Yes, it is holy. All the devatas reside in the body of Gomata, mother cow. So yes, that is not a joke, and it's not some old wives' tale. It is true. And Krishna gives first protection to the cows. After what, his name is Gopal. Somebody Gopal here? I think there's a Gopal. Das. His name is Govinda. He gives satisfaction to the cows. And then after the cows, Krishna's next preference, Brahmanas, devotees, saintly persons. Anyone who hears this account of the Supreme Lord's kindness to Brahmanas will come to develop love for the Lord and thus become free from the bondage of material work. So that was your payoff for hearing. You will come to develop love for the Lord. And this love for Krishna, this is the highest benediction one can get in human life. Sometimes we think, "Oh, if I win the lottery, that would be the best. Or if I was on that TV show, Deal or No Deal, and I won the million, that would be great." But no, Lord Chaitanya points out, what's the highest thing that you can get in this material human form of life? Love of God. Krishna Prema. So before I do my next reading, I think, Supriya, you should do one chanting. What do you think?